Welcome to Level Up with Danny. I'm your host, Danny Stockham. Today, I am winging it. I literally brought no papers with me. I don't have a script. I didn't pick any music. I'm just going to, just do my thing. We're trying to get through this hour with zero coughing. I have been under the weather. Oh my gosh, I'm like a broken record. All I do is say that I'm under the weather. How am I going to level up if I keep getting sick? That's a level down from health. Can you guys hear me? Am I on the air? I don't know. It sounds weird in my headphones right now. Like, I'm not really talking. Maybe I need to turn up my headphones. Hello? Hello? I guess that's better. I don't know. My hearing's a little weird too, so maybe it's my hearing. Okay, so what I did today is I decided that I was going to do a whole show from the notes section of my phone. I write a lot of notes in my phone. I love the notes section. It's my Bible. It's where I write things that I need to remember. I have grocery lists in here. Let's see, how many notes do I have? I have 605 notes in my phone. So, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in here. If I hear a good quote or anything like that, I put that in the notes section so that I remember to talk about it or write about it or think about it. So I started going through my notes section and just taking out a few things that I thought would be juicy to talk about today. The first thing that I wrote was the sexualization of our youth. I don't know what triggered me to say this, but I do know that when I was writing my book, and I was in my writing class, there was a discussion about how youth is so sexualized today. And, you know, was it like that when we were growing up? We, meaning the people in the writing class, most of which were children of the 60s. And I know that personally, I feel like I was sexualized at a very young age, not because of how I was brought up. Well, I mean, I guess it was because of how I was brought up, but what I mean to say about it is I understood, I had an innate understanding of the power of being female. And I was kind of a chubby kid, and I developed early, and I remember recognizing that there was power in that. That, and some of the attention was really negative and scary and made me feel a certain kind of way, but some of it made me feel really powerful. And I don't know what that sounds like to say something like that, knowing where I ended up, which is in a home with a lot of physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. My parents got divorced when I was 10, and my mother remarried a monster. But it was even before 10 that I had this feeling about the power of my sexuality, not in a sexual way, just kind of in a way that I presented myself to the world. I don't know. It's hard to explain. You know, I was a swimmer, so I was in a bathing suit all the time. And I don't know, there was just something about that that made me recognize power in that. I guess that's the only way I can explain it. But in today's day and age, the sexualization of our youth is something that is, obviously it's very negative. I mean, there's a lot of sex trafficking of young women. There's the whole Epstein file situation. There's all that. Let's see, what is it like? You know, these massage parlors, quote unquote, where there's these young girls being forced into almost sexual slavery, not almost sexual slavery, sexual slavery. And the fear around that. I remember when my girls were young, and I have two daughters, I could see what society, and, you know, they were at the infancy of social media, born in 2001 and 2002, how society was putting this pressure on these young girls to be more grown up than they were. And I remember there was like a end of school year, kind of like a pool party, but it was at the school. So they had like slip and slides and, you know, maybe like a jumpy house and stuff like that, like some water games. And I remember my daughters were like, you know, it's a pool party, so we're going to wear bathing suits to school with like shorts over it or a sarong. And I was like, no, you're not. It's the last day of school, but it's still school. Like, you're going to dress for school. And I mean, it was a huge deal because they, of course, were fighting me tooth and nail. But as it turned out, they went to school, last day of school. They had shorts and t-shirts on, and underneath the shorts and t-shirts, they had their bathing suits on. And I still had stress over it. And I know that that comes from, you know, my own personal PTSD over this highly sexualized, sexual abuse charged situation that I grew up in, and my protectiveness of my daughters around that. But they were innocent. And I was putting that on them because of my own stuff. So, yeah, that was kind of a complicated one to start with, wasn't it? I just think that social media has created a lot of negative things. There's so much good in social media. And it created so many connections and opportunities and valuable influence. But the flip side of it is, and can be very negative, and the sexualization of our youth is a very negative thing. Okay, the next thing I had in my notes was, COVID, is it still a thing? And I mean, COVID's still a thing, obviously. I think they just came out with another friggin' booster. I'm over COVID. I've been over COVID since the first booster came out. So I got my vaccination, my COVID vaccination, which I think was two doses. I wish I still had my vaccination card. It's somewhere on my phone, probably in the notes section. I could look it up. And then I got one booster, and that was it. Like, I was done. I think we're on, like, our seventh booster. I had COVID, suspected case of COVID, before COVID was COVID, when it was still being called the coronavirus. I had septic pneumonia, and I had a stroke. And that was later attributed to COVID because of what my lungs looked like, which was the classic COVID lungs. Then I got COVID again, and I was pretty sick. And then I got COVID for the third time, and I was prescribed that Paxlovid, and I took two doses of it and was deathly ill. That was the poster child example of the cure is worse than the sickness. And because of what Paxlovid did to me, I ended up giving COVID to my daughter, who had never gotten COVID, who had gone through all the COVID years with no COVID, and she was in college at the time. But just walking into the same room that I was convalescing in, the airborne toxicity of what Paxlovid did to my body gave her COVID. She literally had COVID the next morning. It was that toxic. So I'm not a fan of Paxlovid. I am out of the COVID business, but COVID is still a thing, and people are still testing for COVID. I just got back from a four-day trip to Dallas, and I was so sick. And when I got home, I was like, oh my God, what if I have COVID? Okay, what if I do? I took a COVID test. It was negative. But my daughter, my other daughter, was coming to town because she had to have a procedure. And I was like, oh my God, what if I have COVID? I won't be able to take her. Like, my husband's going to have to take her. And it was a whole thing, rabbit hole that I went down, waiting the 15 minutes for the test results. But I didn't have COVID. I still am sick. I think it's just, so I'm very, very, very sensitive to air conditioning. I hate the air conditioning. I wish we could never have air conditioning, but obviously there's climates you live in where you have to have air conditioning. And, you know, we stayed in a hotel in Dallas and there's air conditioning and Dallas is hot and there's air conditioning everywhere. And I have asthma and the air conditioning just does me in. And I think I just caught a little something from the air conditioning. I'm blaming the air conditioning. But I have a terrible cough, and I always have a cough, but this is way worse. Okay? So, anyways, is COVID still a thing? Do we still care about COVID? We just call it the flu. It's just whatever it is. It's a sickness. We don't even need to test for it because everything's contagious. The flu's contagious. I mean, bronchitis, pneumonia. You know, any infection, any bacterial infection, viruses, those are contagious. And COVID is that, and COVID's contagious. I mean, we don't need to test for it anymore because your behavior when you're sick should be the same. Stay home, whether it's COVID or the flu. So I think somehow we got to get COVID out of our vocabulary because it should be a non-issue. That's my two cents on that. Then, you know, part of my self-care has been to do a news blackout. Like, I don't watch the news anymore, and I am a news tramp. I would watch the news, the 5 o'clock news, the 5:30 news, the national news at 6, the 6:30 news, the 7 o'clock news. So that's like 5 news, 30-minute news programs every day. I always had the news on. At the night, I read the local press Democrat newspaper. I subscribe to the New York Times online. I have Apple News. I'm just a news junkie. But I had to do a news blackout when our 47th president was elected. It was just for my own mental health. I just couldn't. I just couldn't with all of it. And now, whether you watch the news or not, it's impossible to avoid the news. So how are you going to have a news blackout if you are on social media, if you talk to anyone? I mean, even like the nighttime talk shows or any talk shows that you watch or listen to or podcasts, you know, it's always going to come up. Like, there is no such thing as a news blackout. And really, do we want a news blackout? That seems very draconian, very communist. So there's no such thing. And I do not watch the news still. The other day, I was getting ready to watch a baseball game. So they had like the nightly news on early. Like, I turned on the TV at 4 o'clock thinking, baseball or football? I can't remember. We watch so much sports. That's my next thing, called sports overload. And the evening news was on. I think it was on ABC. So it must have been Monday Night Football. It couldn't have been that. I don't know what it was. Anyways, who's the guy that does the ABC news? Because I'm a CBS girl. I only watch CBS. I only ever watch CBS. Anyways, he was good. And it was a good little snippets of national news. It was still depressing. But anyways, blah, 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 blah. No such thing as a news blackout. And we don't want it anyways. Then my next one is sports overload. So we're sports people. We watch all the sports. College football, professional baseball, professional basketball, college basketball, college baseball, college softball. WNBA, hockey. God forbid it's an Olympic year. Forget about it. I'll watch it all. Gymnastics, ice skating, ice dancing, track and field. We're news junkies. We're crazy news junkies. I have a friend group. It's like my elementary school friends. And somebody was talking something about a baseball playoff game, and one of the friends is like, oh, I didn't know you watched baseball. I was like, are you kidding? My husband would watch high school bowling if it was on TV. That's all he watches is sports. Tuesday night, we have an issue because it's the baseball playoffs and it's Dancing with the Stars. So I literally have to go upstairs to watch Dancing with the Stars because he doesn't care who's on. He's watching sports. So this is not in my list of things, but Tuesday night, I'm watching Dancing with the Stars. I'm upstairs. And I get a text from my daughter, and there's a picture of her front door, like the front door to her apartment. And there's you can see there's a guy standing out the door. Her door is frosted glass. And she's like, Mom, this guy is standing in front of my door and he's not leaving. What should I do? I'm watching Dancing with the Stars. I said, tell him you're going to call 911 and then call 911. And she's like, should I open the door? I'm like, are you an idiot? No, you're not going to open the door. Don't even stand in front of the door. Just shout it from the side of the door and call 911. I'm like, your dog's supposed to be barking like crazy. What's going on? So I'm thinking to myself as I'm typing her this response, I should probably go wake up my husband. I mean, this could be serious. I mean, it's not like she lives here. It's not like I can drive over and confront the stalker. So I go downstairs, which this is not a quick thing to do. I think we have like 14 stairs, and I'm a one step at a time kind of girl, especially at night with pajamas on and slippers. I go downstairs, and my husband's asleep on the couch, and the baseball game's on TV. And I said, babe, are you awake? And he goes, what's up? So I'm getting ready to tell him. I said, I need to show you something. And he sits up, and right then, my daughter FaceTimes me. So I turn on the FaceTime. I say to my husband, wait a minute, she's calling me. And he goes, what's going on? Is something wrong with the dogs? Like, he just, you know, he's coming out of a sleep, so he's thinking something's wrong. And she's hysterically laughing, and I can hear her roommate laughing. And she's like, Mom, you failed as a mom. And I go, okay. I said, are you punking me? And she goes, it's an AI thing. You haven't seen it on social media? Like, you can AI generate anything you want. And she's like, you didn't even call me. Like, I send you a picture of a guy standing at my door. You didn't even call to say, are you okay? You just text me, like, instructions. I'm like, okay. I'm upstairs. I'm watching Dancing with the Stars. I mean, you know what to do. I raised you, right? We call the police. And she's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you believed it. Da, 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 da. You haven't seen this all over your TikTok. I'm like, no. We don't follow the same kind of stuff. Anyways, it wasn't funny, and she got me, but I guess I failed as a mom because I wasn't hysterical enough, which is weird because we're a very hyperbolic this is not a good sign. I'm going to take a sip of water. Okay, we're a very hyperbolic, overdramatic family, so I guess I wasn't up to snuff on that. Anyways, so that same daughter is in town. She lives in San Diego, La Jolla, actually. She's in town because about 5 months ago, I was FaceTiming with her. She's the queen of FaceTime. And I was like, what is that on your lip? And she's like, what do you mean? I go, there's like a brown spot on your lip. Do you have food on your face? And she's like, oh, this, I don't know what it is. I'm like, you need to send a picture to your doctor. She needs to take a look at that. Okay. A few months go by. I'm like, did you ever show Jennifer, that's our doctor, that thing on your lip? And she's like, No. I'm like, you need to do that. Okay, Mom, I will. Then she's here visiting for something. I don't know what. And I was like, that thing on your lip does not look good. Have you shown the doctor? She's like, no. I'm like, take a picture of it right this second and text it to her. We have a concierge doctor. Uh-oh. I'm going to play a song.
Stealing your love away, 'cause you never give it. Peeling the years away, and we can't relive it. Oh, I make you laugh, and you make me cry. I believe it's time for me to fly. You said that you had no doubt that deep down we were really in love. Oh, but I'm tired of holding on to a feeling I know is gone. I do believe that I've had enough. I've had enough of the falseness of a one-off relation. Enough of the jealousy and the oh, I make you laugh, and you make me cry. I believe it's time for me to fly. Time for me to fly. Oh, I've got to set myself free.
Time for me to fly.
And that's just how it's got to be. I know it hurts to say goodbye.
Thanks Molesbury Market for their underwriting support. Established in 1959, they are family-owned. located in the old Redwood Highway in the Larkfield Center. Their website, MolesburyMarket.com. Molesbury Market tunes in to the roots of rock every Sunday morning at 7 on Cowes Community Radio.
Cowes thanks Vaughn Necton of Open Door Insurance Services, a family-owned and operated insurance agency providing solutions based on product knowledge and expertise in personal business, specialty, and nonprofit insurance. You can reach them at 707-874-2666 or on their website at opendoorins.com. Cowes is underwritten in part by Many Rivers Books and Tea. Many Rivers specializes in tools for spiritual practice, tea, and teaware. They're located at 130 South Main Street, Suite 101 in Sebastopol, and can be found online at manyriversbooks.com. They can also be reached by phone at 707-829-8871.
Cowes thanks Occidental dentist Dr. Andre Shevchuk. Dr. Shevchuk offers a full range of dental care, and his offices are located in Occidental at 4066 Bohemian Highway. You can reach his office by calling 707-874-2447.
Okay, we got through that. Anyways, I was like, take a picture, send it to the doctor. So she did, and the doctor said, get in here, I need to take a look at that. So she went in to see her, and our doctor said, you need to go to UCSF Melanoma Center because your father has melanoma, and you have light hair, and you need to go get it looked at. So made an appointment. She came back, took her down to UCSF to the melanoma clinic, and the melanoma specialist was like, that doesn't look good, and she measured it, and she's like, it's 9 millimeters, it's irregularly shaped, the color differential is not good, I don't like anything about it, we need to get that off. So long story short, she had the removal scheduled for yesterday, so she's back in town. I took her down to Mount Zion Medical Center, UCSF Medical Center in San Francisco. And this is the surgery center for the melanoma clinic. And so we go in and we're going to see the surgeon. And his fellow came in and, you know, another student. And he was like, oh, okay. yeah, doesn't look bad. It hasn't grown any since you were seen, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. So, but I'm just a dermatologist. She's the melanoma specialist. She said she wants me to excise it. So we're going to excise it. I'm not going to give you stitches. We're going to shave it off. We'll send it to the lab. They'll test it for melanoma. You should know in 5 to 7 days. He's like, but it looks good to me. So he takes it off and puts it in a specimen cup and, you know, off it goes to the lab and off we come back home. And, you know, we were planning that she was going to be here for a week to like next Wednesday because we didn't know what the recovery was going to be like. Anyways, long story short, she has a crusty divot out of her lip and she was in a lot of pain yesterday, but she's better today and, you know, went for a walk and she's going to go home tomorrow. But the next item in my list from my note section of my phone is get your annual health checks. I have a friend that I went to elementary school, not elementary school. She went to different elementary school, junior high, high school. We were on swim team together though. So I've known her a long time. and every year she posts, you know, getting my mammogram, getting my skin cancer checks, you know, my annual female exam. I just think as we get older, unless you have issues, you're just kind of like, maybe I'll go, maybe I won't. Well, you have to go. Okay, you got to go to the dermatologist once a year and get your skin checked. And I'm talking from your head, the top of your head, to in between your toes. Skin cancer is no joke. And everything is exposed. The skin is our biggest organ. I mean, it can be in your booty hole. It's terrible. Skin cancer is not a good way to go. So you have a spot, you have a mole, you have anything that changes at all, that's concerning. And you need to get it looked at. You need to get it lopped off, shaved off, cut out, whatever, tested. And, you know, I have a million things that I've had taken out and shaved off and burned off and scraped off, and nothing's come back bad, but it looked concerning enough to get it taken off. So skin cancer checks, mammograms for women, and not just the squeeze one. You know, at over 60, you can get a, what do they call it? It's not just the diagnostic mammogram. It's like an ultrasound, where if you have any concerning fibrous tissue or lumps, or if you've had implants or reduction, anything where it's not your God-given situation, you need to go and have these tests done. You need to get your, you know, your pap smear, and you just have to do all those things. I mean, it's vital. And for men, no guy is like, ooh, is it time for my prostate exam? Yippee. But you have to do it. If you don't do it and you end up with prostate problems, God forbid prostate cancer, I just don't think it sneaks up on you in a year. I think either you didn't get your exams, there's a family history that you're not acknowledging, or you had symptoms that you just thought were part of aging. I mean, men are the worst. They're just the worst. I mean, my husband, as I mentioned, had melanoma. He's a redhead. Not anymore. He's a grayhead, but he was a redhead. Lots of sun exposure. He's a sun god, wants to be in the sun, not a fan of sunscreen, has had more spots burned off, cut off, chopped out, dug out, examined, tested than is right. And it's just the cost of doing business in America. You got to get all those diagnostics tests done just once a year. And for women, don't forget to get your DEXA scan, your osteoporosis measurement. This is really important too, because as we age, our bones become more fragile, and, you know, one little fall could break a hip, and a lot of people die from stuff like that because it's hard to recover. You know, do your strength training. That helps keep your bones strong. Do your balance training. That helps keep you from taking a tumble. These are important things, and these annual health checkups are vital. The next thing I wrote was veneers, but I think I already talked about this once, about how no matter what dentist you go to, it seems like they're all into cosmetic dentistry, and they're all like, you should get veneers. You should get veneers. We could change your smile. We can make your teeth perfectly white, brilliant white. And it's such a upsell every time you go. It's like, just clean my teeth, scrape off the tartar, give me some free travel brushes, and send me on my way. I'll see you in 6 months. But now it's like, get veneers, porcelain veneers, whatever. Get implants, get all new teeth, wear dentures, I don't know. We don't all need to have the same smile. Everyone needs a little quirky smile. The next thing I had in my notes was Ozempic. But I think I talked about this too, not from the weight loss standpoint, but really, I mean, am I worried that one day we're all just going to be thin with veneers? I do think about that. What am I going to do about this cough? The first cough rescue song was by REO Speedwagon. This last song was by Warren Ziders and Lainey Gardner. Where was I? Besides coughing my head off. Anyways, are we all going to be skinny with fake teeth, I guess? But no, the research around Ozempic, and I know it's in its infancy, is the use of it for drug addiction, for a lot of addictions, because, you know, it's really quiets the food cravings, and maybe it can quiet the drug cravings too. I don't know. I'm interested in that kind of research. Jane Goodall died yesterday. She was 91. I mean, she's a wonderful human. And, you know, she taught us a lot. And, you know, her work with the gorillas was, you know, it was really important. She lived a great long life. Like, I mean, it's sad, of course, when people die, but that's part of it. And she was 91. So I think that's all I have to say about that. I don't have another song. The government is shut down. The last time it was shut down was in 2019. I think we had the same president. I'm going to try to quell the coughing. Why is the government shut down? Is there any chance that it's going to stay shut down for 30 days like it was in 2019? I hope not. That's too long. And what happens when it's shut down? Do they not send out the Social Security checks? Do the TSA agents not show up for work? What about the air traffic controllers? I mean, when you start to think about Who gets paid by the government? It's pretty daunting. I don't know. I really don't want to talk about that. It's just upsetting. We know who is in the presidency. We know who is in the majority in both houses of Congress. So we know who's responsible. Period. End of report. I saw this thing on social media this morning. Maybe I need to just slow down my breathing. Don't take any deep breaths. And it was like, it was from a husband's standpoint. If you walk through the kitchen and your wife's in there and you don't slap her on the butt, are you even married? So my husband, not so much in the kitchen. But at night, when we're brushing our teeth, he walks behind me and slaps me on the butt every single night. I think it's cute. So I'm part of that group. Okay, I love Jason Bateman. I've loved him forever. I watched Ozark. I thought it was really good. I follow him on social media. I listen to his podcast, Smartless. He's a cool guy. And I started watching the Netflix series Black Rabbit. He's in it with Jude Law. And I was home sick on Tuesday, I guess it was. Clearly, I'm not better. And I watched like 3 episodes of Black Rabbit. So I literally spent all day with Jason Bateman. And then that night was game one of the Reds and the blue team from LA series. And Jason Bateman was at the game. And they showed him. And I was like, oh, there he is. I feel like I spent all day with him, because I kind of did. So I love him. And Black Rabbit's really good. I finished it last night. I saw Dr. Jay Shetty. I think he's a doctor, Jay Shetty. I know he was a monk. I think he's a doctor. He said this on his little podcast. It says, insecurity is loud. Confidence is quiet. And I started thinking about that. So I wrote it in my notes. Insecurity is loud. Confidence is quiet. I like that. Jay Shetty had Madonna on his podcast. Now look, Madonna is a freaking icon. I have adored her from when she first started with Borderline on American Bandstand. All through all of her incarnations. I saw her in concert in San Jose a long time ago. She's amazing. Now, the last few years, she's kind of got off the rails a little bit, like some of her social media. Like, I was following her on social media, and then I was like, I don't know if I can even follow her anymore. But she did a spectacular interview with Jay Shetty, and if you can catch it on his podcast, listen to it. I mean, she did have a grill in, so that was kind of interesting. Like, some of her words were like, wow. But, you know, she practices Kabbalah. She is a student of Kabbalah. I don't even understand what Kabbalah is, but she made me super interested in it. I remember when she started it, got to be 25 years ago, maybe longer, where they wear that red string. Bracelet. But yeah, the podcast is really good. Another podcast that I listen to pretty religiously with my sister's like, how do you have all the time for this? Well, I save them. You know, I listen to the snippets, and then I go, ooh, I want to listen to that one. And then I save it, and then I go listen to it another time. Is Pivot. It's with Scott Galloway and Kara Swisher. And they're just so smart, the both of them. I just could listen to them all day. So much so that on their show yesterday or the day before, they were talking about they're going to go on tour, like a speaking tour. And they started naming all the cities, and they said San Francisco. So I immediately went on, and they're coming in November, and I bought 2 tickets, and I cannot wait to see them in person. I'm such a fangirl. So I'm going to go see them in November. And then the last thing that I wrote in my notes is the skill of self-reliance. So this has come up in my life as a mother, in my life as a friend, and just in my life, that we have to teach our kids self-reliance. I think if we don't teach these skills, we are actively choosing to disable our children. So my girls, and I'm going to put this in quotes, benefited from the fact that their mother has a crippling degenerative disease. So we always had help in the house. Not the kind of help that we've had for the last 13 years, but we always had help. We always had a cleaning person and, you know, someone to help. Now, for the last 13 years, I've had a personal assistant. So that's laundry help. That's cleaning help. That's organizing help. That's, for me, personal care health. Help, not health, help. And my daughters have benefited from that. Now, when they went to college, I did not for one second think that the first time we go to visit, there's going to be 77 loads of laundry to do. They know how to do laundry. Maybe they didn't have to do laundry, but they know how to do laundry. They know how to clean their rooms. They know how to make their beds. They know how to fold their clothes and put them back in the drawers. They know how to make basic food. I mean, my one daughter is a really good cook. My other daughter, she knows how to eat. She knows how to take care of herself. It's a level of self-reliance that is necessary. And if we don't teach our children these things, these skills, we are actively choosing to disable them. How are they going to live in the world without us? And do we want them forever? No, we do not. Or do we want them to look for a partner to do all the things that they don't know how to do? No, we don't want that either. That doesn't make you a valuable partner. That makes you somebody else's problem or a burden for someone else. So we have to teach self-reliance. And I hope to get tons of feedback on this subject. You know, like, are you married to someone who isn't self-reliant? Are you married to someone who needs you to do everything for them? Are you married to someone that you think, I don't know what they're going to do if I'm gone? Not just on a trip, but forever. Like, I don't have those fears. My husband's going to be just fine. He's very self-reliant. And I'm going to be fine too, because I have a personal assistant. No, but I mean, and I was self-reliant for a long time. I mean, and I still could be if I had to be. It's just I have the skills. We've got to teach them these skills. They have to know the basic skills to be self-reliant. Okay, I can't get worked up because I could start coughing again, and I think we've already been down that road. I've got 3 service announcements. One is a program promotion announcement. One is a current event, and one is a public service announcement. I'm going to try to get through it. I'm just going to read it. I'm going to put my head down. I'm going to be monotone. Public service announcement, Saris Community Project. Saris is seeking volunteers to aid in growing, cooking, and delivering meals to clients in Sonoma County who are facing serious health challenges. I think my cough drop is giving me hiccups. The Saris Community Project empowers young people as volunteer gardeners and chefs, educating the broader community about the connections between food choices and individual health, the community, and the planet. They partner with healthcare providers and insurers to demonstrate the impact of medically tailored meals to ensure that nutrition is a routine part of healthcare. Shifts are available Monday to Friday in Sebastopol. Visit CeresProject.org. That's C-E-R-E-S Project.org. That's my public service announcement. This is a current event for Friday, October 3rd, which is tomorrow. The Occidental Community Association welcomes back, let's see, D-G-I-I-N, Diggin, on Friday, October 3rd at 7 p.m., twice voted North Bay's best band. Diggin was let out of the bottle back in 2001 by Mimi and Gabe Perard, who infused tight harmonies into a variety of American and international styles, from New Orleans swing to French chanson, salsa, and cumbia to Roma hot jazz. Now a sextet with saxophone and violin, this working band of accomplished, reliable musicians know how to entertain. Bring your dancing shoes and enjoy. That's at the Occidental Community Association, Friday, October 3rd at 7 p.m. tomorrow. The final order of business is Cal's programming promotion announcement. The show is called No Pigeonholes EXP. Want to hear some wild, out-of-this-world sounds? Well, tune in on the first, third, and fifth Thursday nights at 6 p.m. for No Pigeonholes EXP, where the unexpected is the norm. Electronics, improv, drone, free jazz, modern classical, noise, and a whole bunch of unusual vibrations. There will be very few traditional songs, but mainly strange sounds to puzzle, confound, and delight you. The show is hosted by Don Campo, right here on Cal's Community Radio, KOWS LP in Occidental. So tune us in at 92.5 FM in Sonoma County, or KOWSFM.com, where we are always streaming worldwide. I love Don. He trained me. He's a good, good man. Okay, here's attention local businesses. Your business can be mentioned five or more times a week on air by our hosts for as little as a dollar a day. You can become an underwriter. Email us at cows@sonic.net. And you can do a mini business underwriting, which is at a reduced rate. So if you have a business and you want to hear it on the radio, get in touch with us. We would love to help sponsor your business. I have one more song that I'm going to play. I promise to be better prepared for my next program and to have this cough under control. I don't know what's causing it, so I don't know how to fix it, but whatever. I've got a tickle in my throat. That's what my girls used to say when they were little. There's something wrong with my throat. But I guess all kids say that, right? Not that TH is hard to make in the phonics world. I think they do that naturally, but they called it a throat. So just like my friend's daughter used to say, look at my yegs. She meant her legs. I just think that's funny. Kids are the best, aren't they? They just, the way they say words sometimes. So the last song that I have to play is Leather and Lace by Stevie Nicks and Don Henley. I love this song. I want this song played at my funeral, okay? I think it's just, it's a love song. It's like a love song. Some final thoughts. So my birthday's on Sunday. I'm going to be 63. My daughter's birthday is on the 9th. She's going to be 23. I had her when I was 40. Yes, she was my 40th birthday present. I said to her the other day, you're going to be 22. And she's like, really? Are you going to be 62 again? I was like, damn, how'd I get so old? Anyways, I'm going to Vegas to see the Eagles in the Sphere. And I am so excited. I love the Eagles so much. This is going to be my 1, 2, 3, 4th time seeing them. And gosh, they're such a tight band. I'm just, oh, if you have never seen the Eagles, you got to go see the Eagles. I really want my girls to go see them. They're so good. And you know all their songs. And you just want to sing along. Don Henley's in the Eagles, and the song I'm going to play is not an Eagles song, but, you know, it's him. He's got a good voice, too. Really like him a lot. They've just aged really well. I don't know. Now they have Vince Gill is singing in their band, and, you know, Don Henley's there, and I think it's Glenn Frey's kid. Yeah, Deacon Frey. Is that right? Anyways, they're a great band, and the show is supposed to be spectacular. I've never been in the Sphere, so I'm excited about that. We're staying at the Wynn. We've never stayed at the Wynn, so I'm excited about that. We're going with our friends, the Noonans, because Kelly's birthday is Friday and mine is Sunday, and Todd's is next week, and we're just, it's a big Libra love fest. October is a very busy month for me birthday-wise. I think I counted the other day, I have like 14 birthdays. Almost every day I have a birthday. My nephew Lee is on the 4th. My daughter's on the 9th, I already said. I have lots of friends' birthdays this month. So anyways, October's the best. Here goes Leather and Lace by Don Henley and what's her bucket? Stevie Nicks. Come on. Ready? And begin.